Hi, I'm Britt.
And my name is Alyssa.
And this is Skeletales.
And this is the podcast where we strive to answer the age-old question of, is my dead grandma watching me?
Speaking of people watching you, I heard something that freaked me the fuck out the other day. So last week, I was listening to our episode. You were talking about people's last words. And so I was like, oh, this is probably okay for the kids to listen to. So I'm in the car, I'm proofing the episode so we can thumbs up to air it or whatever. And you're telling the story about a woman who asks to be changed into white dress because there's a man in black, who's all black, wearing a top hat, red eyes, staring at her. Not sure why she needed to be dressed in white for that. But regardless, the story ends. And Ellis, my seven-year-old, chimes in, hey, Mom, I've seen him before.
What?
He's like, yeah, he was standing in the corner with the red eyes staring at me. I was like, what? Like, in your bedroom? And he was like, no, it was when I was sleeping in your room one night. He says he wasn't wearing a top hat, though. It was a different kind of hat. And I said, was it a fedora? And he's seven, so he says, what is a fedora? And so I explained. He said, yes, that's the one. I was like, okay, let me get this straight. You were sleeping in my room, and you saw a man all in black wearing a hat with red eyes staring at you. Yeah. And he's like, as if it was like, yeah, that's it. He was like, well, I just thought that I was dreaming. I was like shaking a little bit. And I was like, oh my God.
It's your fascination with Hat Man. He's coming for visits, Britt.
He's visiting my seven-year-old.
Well, he's in your room. I don't think he's visiting your seven-year-old. I think he's visiting you, and your seven-year-old just happened to see
him. I know there's something in my room, and it's in that corner. It's the corner that Ruby was barking at. I've seen shadows in that corner, but the fact that he saw a fucking Hat Man in that corner really freaks me out a lot.
You should take your pendulum in there and see what happens. It's going to just start spinning around in circles.
Okay, you know what I feel brave enough to do is I feel brave enough to take my recorder in and maybe try to catch an EVP. Should I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should you do it right now?
My heart's like beating really fast even thinking about this instance. Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this is what's always scared me. You're inviting it in, Britt. You're inviting it in.
I don't like it. I did buy some sage the other day at a witch shop. I've been saging the shit out of my room, so maybe there won't be any EVPs.
Or it's like that. The Hat Men are like, she's on to us. You better go monitor her because you've been researching them so hard and you got so into them.
They're and like, now they're catching you. On. She knows something.
She knows too much.
They're just watching my every move.
Shit, that's scary, Britt. Well, hey, Britt.
Oh, hey.
Do we only talk about Hat Man staring at you with glowing eyes from the corner while you sleep on this podcast, Britt?
Oh, my God. Hopefully never, ever again. Nope. We tell true tales of the strange, unusual, and paranormal.
Heck yeah.
Ooh, I don't usually hop in with a hot story like that. Whew.
Ooh, I loved it, man.
The podcast over, the end. Just kidding. Before we hop into our stories for the day, though, can I share a listener write in about a comment from last, I guess it's more of a story to add on to from last week's episode?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I got a message from listener of the podcast, contributor to the podcast, and friend of the podcast, Dawn. And she agreed to let me share what she wrote to you and everyone. I just listened to your latest podcast. I also have someone's last words, but they were already gone when they said them. When I was 10 years old, I lost my dad to colon cancer. It's been 20 years already, but the time of his passing was very hard, on my mother and still is from time to time. My father was brought up to never say, I love you, but he showed his love in other ways. He'd buy gifts or do kind favors. My whole life, he never said, I love you, not to us kids or even to my mother. Even though my dad was nearing the end of his life, my parents still celebrated Valentine's Day. My dad had gotten my mom a balloon. It was a red heart balloon that said, I love you, on it. Tied to the bottom was one of those foiled covered weights holding it down. About a month after my dad's passing, the balloon still lingered around. There was barely any air left in it, and it just stayed in my parents' room. This particular day, I was in the bathroom, my sister was in the bedroom, and my brother was in the living room with my mom. My sister leaves her bedroom, goes down the hallway towards the living room, and I watched the balloon float out of my parents' room and down the hallway behind her. We thought the balloon had just followed my sister's current when she walked by the room. My mom told my sister to go put the balloon back, so she did. She came back into the living room, and a few minutes later, down the hallway, with the weight still on it, comes the balloon. It gets right in front of my mom and stops. We all knew what he was saying. He never said it while alive, but we all knew that he was telling my mom, I love you, for the first and last time. We all cried, and I'm crying right now telling the story.
From Dawn. Oh, Dawn. I got goosebumps from
that. Me too.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So thank you, Dawn, for sharing that. I've got some toilet stories for you today. You know what? I was real dark last week. I was talking about a lot of death, a lot of dead babies. This week, I'm taking it lighter. We're going with some dookie stories.
That is very...
But I want to hear yours first. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about like the first Thanksgiving and pilgrims and ghosts from the Pilgrim area and Native Americans. So it's
way
like a real
to keep on like, theme.
Feast and poop. I don't know. Like,
it's really good that we coordinate these things ahead of time.
These are like two of the more opposite things we could be talking about.
I love it. I love it.
Maybe
so
I just
much.
Assumed, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. Britt might be on that same wavelength as me.
Nope.
Shit. You're thinking about the aftermath of Thanksgiving, the day after.
Okay. There we go. We got some themes.
That's why Britt calls
entwined.
It Black. It's not Black Friday. It's Brown Friday to Britt.
Brown Friday.
It's her own nickname for it.
Oh my God. Oh, so good. Okay. Well, before Brown Friday, we got to go with the Thankful Thursday. So, what do you have for us today, Alyssa?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wait. Yeah, because we're going to finish up with a shit story. That's for sure. Now that I know what your theme is, mine's not as light. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start because I got so sidetracked and mind blown about this whole thing. Real quick, I think I'll just do some quick hot takes and then I'll get into my story about the ghost of Plymouth's Burial Hill.
Dun, dun, dun.
But did you know that when the pilgrims arrived, most of the Native Americans were dead and the villages were empty and there were just like skeletons in the village and the land was like desolate?
No. That's not how they tell it in the textbooks.
No. So because there was a plague during, it was a really bad one from like 1616 to 1619 or something like that. The Native Americans called it the Great Dying. And literally it killed 9 out of 10 of like the coastal Massachusetts Native Americans, just wiped them out. So when the pilgrims arrived after this, they were like, oh my God, look at this. God has prepared the land for us. He's killed everyone off just
Holy
for us
shit.
To come here and settle these lands, not realizing it was like a plague. And I guess
9 out of 10?
Yeah, it had a 10% survival rate. 90% mortality rate. So much so that within a decade of the settlers arriving on the coast of Massachusetts, the native population dropped from 30,000 to 300.
What?
Yes.
This is bananas. How Isn't have it? I never heard of this before?
I know. There's also a complete, it wasn't really the first Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was actually in Florida in like the 1500s, and it wasn't pilgrims like Quakers. What the hell were pilgrims? Protestants? What were they? Puritans. That's it. Puritans. It was like a Catholic feast celebration. Anyway, so it started in Florida like well beforehand. But anyway, the Plymouth Thanksgiving, they arrived and they were all dead. Pretty much like so many. And there were some remaining, but they were really struggling. And then have you heard of Squanto before?
Yes.
Okay. So these pilgrims pull up. Everybody's dead. There's like empty villages everywhere. Yeah. Empty plantations is what they call them. Like corn crops, you know, abandoned and everything. And this Native American walks out of the wood. It is not Squanto. I hope I'm saying this right. I cannot find the name for the life of me right now. And so he walks out of the woods, walks up to the pilgrims, and it's like, hey, can I have a beer? And in English, apparently. Okay. And so he says he's learned English from like fishermen and whatnot. And then I think they tried to trade something. And then he leaves and he comes back with Squanto, who had a Native American name. And I'm not finding it. Hold on a second. Let me find it real quick. Yeah. So he was a Wampanoag Native American. His name was Tisquantum, but the settlers called him Squanto.
Okay.
And he had been kidnapped earlier by an Englishman, taken back to England, where that's where as a servant, slave, and where he learned English. And during that time was the great dying. And so he missed out on everyone.
Oh, so
everyone.
He missed dying.
Yes, he missed out on dying. The
I mean, the slavery, not so good, but no. Okay.
Yeah, or I don't...
Servanthood?
There's some fact-checking there that I've not done, so I don't know.
Okay.
He was kidnapped, I'm assuming, but I don't know if slavery was legal in England during that time, so that's the only thing that's making me, like, second-guess it, but life servitude seems legit.
Servitude.
Anyway. So then he comes back to America, ends back up in Patuxet, which I guess is what becomes Plymouth, and arrives to like nobody there. Everyone's dead except a few tribes people who are all struggling. But they didn't trust him, the Wampanoags. Oh my gosh, I'm really sorry if I'm butchering that. They didn't really trust him apparently, and they captured him and they like held him. I think they like arrested him essentially. Okay, God. Everyone, no one fact check this. I got to disclose that this is a very rough history of what might have happened, okay? So then the deal is that when the English settlers arrived, the Puritans arrived, the pilgrims, they allowed Squanto to go help out these settlers and teach them how to, you know, plant shit and, you know, try to survive. The settlers, the pilgrims arrived in like November 2nd.
Oh, Jesus.
Or something.
That's not ideal. Okay.
Yeah, so right before the winter, like half of them died during
Nobody's
the winter.
Nobody's planting shit. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody like died, like literally half of them died. And then Squanto ended up dying like within a year of this. They called it, quote unquote, the English called it Indian fever, but this the great dying, the same disease that they think was spread there by rats now, like looking back in history, but they're not really sure because apparently the soil in New England dissolves bones, and so there's no bones to look at.
What?
I know.
I'm learning so much tonight. Dissolves bones?
It dissolves bones, and so there's no bones to study, so they can't
study the
teeth to figure out.
There's so much crime up there.
Oh yeah, shit. You just drop it in. Yeah, you just fall on the ground, your dirt
dissolved
within like minutes. Yeah, don't.
This is mind-boggling.
Yeah, and so the name of the plague they think was leptospirosis. There's some scholars that do not agree with that. They think something obviously fucking happened, but they're like, we can't see it being that like virulent. And wiping out.
And there's
the
no way to test
out.
It. There's no way to like take a bone and like
they're just
test
kind
the
of
bone.
doing their best estimate. They'd have to grab, find a tooth and test the tooth. So it's like a little spirochete or whatever. So wiped them all out. Oh, and then they also were like, wait, why? It's not something that you necessarily build an immunity to. So they're like, if why didn't it wipe out the Englishmen that as much as it wiped out the native? If there was this outbreak, it should have also infected the Englishmen. But they're saying no, it was because like the Native Americans were basically more in touch with nature. They were like in the river bathing more than the Englishmen did. They were, you know, eating, you know, a
dirt
lot of berries
on the hands.
Oysters and whatnot. And so they're thinking they just got exposed to it more and got more infected. Regardless, I was mind blown. Did not know that it was just like empty villages of skeletons with some, some natives. Oh, and then
all the things they, here come the three ships sailing. And then the, you know, they offboard off the ships and it's like, oh, welcome to, you know, let's have a feast or whatever. As an adult, I know that none of that is really true, but I did not know that the Native American population was practically wiped out. That is mind-boggling.
Yeah, mind-boggling. Okay, so that was a nice, fun start to this.
I'm so thankful.
Now, to lighten it up, this isn't light. Oh, Lord, I'm pulling a break.
You are pulling.
Do you have a poop story? Maybe should you just interject here?
No,
should you, shove a poop, squeeze a poop out into the middle of my stories?
How many poop stories you want? I got a handful here.
Just one, and then I'll come back to mine. And
this one comes from Prashansha. Now, this takes place in India. This is important because in India, they do not have westernized toilets like we do. Are you aware of this?
I know because of your experiences in India. You told
me. Yes. There are several different types of Indian type of toilets. This is not the specifics really needed, but it is important to know that they don't use toilet paper. They use water instead.
Okay.
Saving the planet. This was in the year 2008. I lived in a girls' boarding hostel. The junior studied in the school side, which was also near the toilet stalls. These were Indian-style toilets where the stalls had full doors that reached to the floor and an opening at the top. I was a senior and we studied near the dormitory. The juniors went to sleep around 8:30 and we had an extra hour study session before going to sleep. Usually we avoided frequenting the toilet after the juniors went to bed because it was so scary. Plus, no two people were sent to the toilet at the same time because the teachers didn't want us to sit in there and gossip. Only one at a time. This particular night, I just couldn't hold back. I had the urgent urge to go to the toilet. I was scared, but still somehow convinced myself that all these stories going around were just made up stuff by the graduated students to scare us or to entertain themselves. So this particular night, I was in the toilet when I suddenly heard someone enter the bathroom. Oh, I was so relieved. I thought the teacher had made an exception for someone who may be suffering from diarrhea or something. I said out loud, "Hey, let's go together after we finish, okay?" But there was no answer. I heard the footsteps enter the toilet stall just next to me, latching of the door, then opening of the tap. I tried to initiate conversation several times. "Hey, are you there? Do you want to talk after we're finished?" Okay, I just made that up. Tried to initiate conversation several times. No answer. Since we had different stalls, but the open roof, it was fun to gossip in the toilet. After I was done, I went to the stall next to mine, where the other student was, and opened the door. To my utter surprise, there was no one. Absolutely no one there. Just the tap running. I felt my heart sinking. My heart was beating fast. I felt my ears and face get warm and super hot. My hands were shaking. I ran as fast as I could. I wouldn't have even minded if I'd broken my leg with that run. I went to the study hall and didn't utter a single word to anyone. The thing that delights me about that story is that so she hears somebody in the stall next to her. She's like, hey, let's gossip. Hey, let's talk. After you're done, I'm excited somebody else is in here. Nobody answers. And so she just is like, well, I'm just going to open this door.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm like, she just whips that door open? What?
Maybe at boarding schools, they're just more relaxed about privacy issues. But the tap was still running.
I like when you tried to pretend what kind of conversation they had. So after we're done shitting, you want to talk? Like, what? Hey, do you want to shit and talk together? But yeah, let's
shit and talk.
Open up that door, whip it open. That's almost the least believable part of that story. It reminds me of Harry Potter too, and the girl moaning
Myrtle
yeah. or whatever in the bathroom. That's it.
Oh my God, it was totally a moaning Myrtle. Just like having to take a dinky.
Not nearly as much shit in that story as I expected. I'm a little disappointed. Britt, I was ready. I thought you said it was going to be Brown Friday.
Okay, I got more, but you go first. You go first.
Okay, so I am now going to tell you, now that I've given you the untold history of the pilgrims, the haunting of Plymouth's Burial Hill. And ooh. I'm getting this from New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM. All right. Okay. New Bedford. I think my friend Kathy, we call her Catheter for short, a loving nickname, is from New Bedford. So this one goes out to you, Kathy.
Okay, I'm on board. Okay, here we go.
But this takes place in Plymouth, not New Bedford, just to readjust. Now I kind of want to do my NPR voice for all of this, but I don't think I will right now. I will just read the article.
I do love your NPR voice, though. You don't use it nearly enough.
I don't, Brett. Okay. Oh, shit. I just lost my article. Hold on a sec.
Okay. Oh, my God. Catheter Kathy.
When the pilgrims first arrived in Plymouth in 1620, it's a well-documented that they barely made it through the first winter, as we discussed. In fact, many did not. 52 out of the 102 that arrived in Plymouth died that winter and were interred on Coles Hill. Further excavation of Coles Hill in the 18th and 19th century led to some of their remains being dug up, and they were reinterred in the 1920s in a sarcophagus on the hill in the spot believed to be where they were originally found. Okay, I don't know if they didn't dissolve in the soil by then, because this is contradicting.
Were bones.
But do you think they were in boxes? Do you think they're like in boxes?
Possibly in caskets, as opposed
to the natives.
Just straight up thrown into some dirt. Okay.
Yeah, just died in the dirt or something. I don't know. I'm trying not to be a hypocrite. Also, full disclosure, did not research that thoroughly, but I saw it in multiple places. Okay. So in the 18th and 19th century, they dug up and did some excavations. They found some of the bodies, put them into a sarcophagus in the 1920s on the hill that they believed that the first cemetery was. And then some believe that that could be why the now defunct Plymouth National Wax Museum at the top of Coles Hill had so many strange shadows lurking about and other creepy phenomena.
Oh. Wait, real quick, sidebar. They put the wax museum next to the cemetery where they all the pilgrims are buried.
Yeah, it almost sounds to me that the pilgrims were buried on Coles Hill. Okay. Uh-huh.
They're like, they dug him up. Let's put a wax museum there instead.
Well, they dug him up, moved them, then built a wax museum on top of that spot.
As and if then... wax museums are not creepy enough. Exactly. Wow. Okay, okay.
So, and then they put the bodies back there. So I don't know. But yeah, that could be why. You're right. It is like the creepiest. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode. It truly is. Okay.
But there was another hill just a short distance away, rising even higher over the shores of Plymouth. It would come to be known as Burial Hill. And while there are numerous other haunted cemeteries and graveyards across the country, this might be America's first. Originally, the Pilgrims built their first fort atop Burial Hill, as it gave them an ample view of much of the colony below. Because it stood as a central focal point for the Pilgrims, it was also used as a meeting house, a church, and a courthouse. Scholars believe that around 1637, the Pilgrims also began using it as a graveyard. Here are the plots of some of the Mayflower passengers. Many of their grave markers, lost to the ravages of time, create a spooky reminder of the sacrifice of those earliest settlers. It is here that Mayflower descendant Thomas Southward Howland is buried. According to legend, Howland met his end when he invoked the ire of the witch Mother Crewe, who had been living on his property without his permission. Upon forcing her to leave, Mother Crewe warned him, "Make your peace, because you will not live to see another sunset. They'll dig your grave on Burial Hill." And that's exactly what they did when he fell from his horse and died the very next day.
Oh, damn.
There is also a mass grave under an obelisk where the bodies of 70 men are buried following the 1778 wreck of the Brigadier General Arnold, a ship which ran aground during a blizzard. Even though the residents of Plymouth could see the stranded ship, they couldn't get to it for days because of the harsh weather. And by the time they survived, most of the men had frozen to death.
Captain James. Oh, shit.
Isn't that brutal?
They could like see them and be like, "Hey, we can't rescue you. Sorry, tough titties." Oh, damn.
And the crew is like, "It's right there. You're right there. Like, you just, and no one's
you
coming
can't
to get you.
Get to it." Oh.
So Captain James McGee was one of the few who, survived, but he asked to be buried with his crew. And although it is believed he was not buried there, to this day, he's still reportedly seen roaming Burial Hill. Numerous other graves dating back to Pilgrim days are scattered throughout the cemetery, which saw its last burial in 1957. At the foot of one side of Burial Hill is the John Carver Inn, named for the first governor of the Plymouth Colony. On this same site, during the American Revolution, stood a house that was inhabited by medical students who would sneak up Burial Hill at night and rob graves for cadavers on which to practice. Grave robbing was... Grave robbing was nothing new to Plymouth. In fact, the Pilgrims survived the first harsh winter in part by stealing food offerings that had been buried alongside deceased natives. But by the time of the Revolution, it was a major crime. The medical students were banished, but the victims of the crime remained. To this day, their spirits still roam the halls of the third floor of the John Carver Inn, and in particular, torment those who stay in room 309. I did try to look up some stories there. One person like got freaked out and asked to move rooms, and they were like, they had some ghost app on their phone and they got really spooked. That was the best one I could find. Also at the base of Burial Hill is Town Square, where there's a stone marker in remembrance of Metacom, or as he was called by the English, King Philip. Metacom was the son of the great Sacamasasuet. There is a stone marker in remembrance of Metacom. Or as he was called by the English, King Philip. So Metacom was the son of the great Sacamasasuet. I don't know what either of those are.
Okay, we don't know about him, okay, but yep. Metacom is popular.
And he was an ally to the Pilgrims in their day, okay? But they were frustrated with the English converting their people to Christianity and trying to, like, obliterate the Wampanoag culture. I did see an interesting fact too, that the Native Americans might have been more open to converting to Christianity after the complete obliteration of their people by plague, right? All the loss and stuff, and just searching for something. And here's this new thing that might is just offering. Just
showed up right at the end.
So apparently Massasoit died, and then his other kid was possibly murdered, Wamsuda, Metacom's brother. And so Metacom waged war on the colonists, and it was a super stupid, deadly war. And then it ended with Metacom's capture, and his head was placed on a spike in town square where it stood for 20 years.
20 years!
So I don't know if they were a fan of Metacom, but I think it's like more of a, whoa, this dude.
Shit. And now they have a statue of him down in town square? Maybe there's to a monument. Represent. Okay, monument. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think they made a statue of his head on a pike for town square.
They're like, well, 20 years later, it's rotted away.
Yeah.
Let's make a statue.
Okay. And also on town square, you'll find two churches. One, the First Parish Church in Plymouth, is the same church founded by the Pilgrims in 1620, with a building erected in 1899. The other, the Church of the Pilgrimage, is also descended from the Pilgrims, and was the result of a schism in the original church back in 1801. Their church building was erected in 1840. The Church of the Pilgrimage is...
Alyssa. Alyssa, stop.
The word's getting shorter every time I say it. The Church of the Pilgrimage is known to have ghostly activity going on inside. That's it.
The end. Awesome.
So whether it be pilgrim ghosts, disinterred bodies used for medical experiments, decapitated Native Americans, or whatever else may be haunting Plymouth's Burial Hill. Should we really be surprised that so much ghostly activity is happening here, Brett?
No, so much death. So much death. Like, people are just walking through walls of ghosts at this point.
This is not all. I agree. What? I thought that was just some corny... community talk radio.
There's more?
It says, after all, there is a power to our history. Not to mention the Pilgrims also happened to land smack dab in the middle of the Bridgewater Triangle.
What is the Bridgewater Triangle?
Paranormal activity reported in Massachusetts Bridgewater Triangle. No time for this shit today.
I've never heard of this before. What? Okay, follow up, please. Write that down. Bridge, water, triangle. I'm cliffhanger. Intrigued.
No time. We need to hear more shit stories. No time for that.
Literally, shit story coming at you. All right, shit story number two. Ha, number two. Coming at you.
They're all number twos.
This story comes from Martin. He says, this story happened to me when I was about 23 and living at home. My dad and brothers had told me weird things had started happening in the house, like hearing footsteps upstairs while being downstairs and doors slamming on their own. But I just played it off and just thought, yeah, okay. Well, one night I came home from work and was literally needing the loo, so I went upstairs to do my business. Poop emoji. I close the door, and about 30 seconds of sitting down on the toilet, I hear the front door open and someone run upstairs and into one of the rooms off the landing. It slammed the door. I'm thinking that was my dad just coming home and one of my brothers being in a mood and was just having a temper tantrum. So I open the door a little and shout, "Oi, I'm upstairs. Put the kettle on." Oh, wait, I'm almost certain this is in the UK, so or England. Okay, here we go. Oi, hey, oh, hey.
I think you got like confused with Rocky there for a second. Ooh. Wait, hey, hey, oi.
Hey, oh, hey. I'm up. Oh, my God. Okay, I got this. It's 10 o'clock at night. We could do this. Hey, I'm up. Oh, my God. Hey. Hold on, let me practice for a second.
Hey.
practice for this. Oi, I'm upstairs. Put the kettle on. But I didn't hear a reply, so I shouted again. Hey, put the kettle on. No reply. So I rung my dad, and I was like, hey, are you deaf? Been shouting at ya. His reply was, how can I hear when I'm out? So I was like, well, who's home? Cuz I heard someone run up this. Oh my God, there's an Australian in there too, apparently. I got this, Alyssa.
There's like your hand movements are saying New York. Your mouth is trying hard for British, but I think your hand movements are tricking your brain into thinking New York accent. There's a lot of
British. A British is easy. Well, who's home? Cuz I heard someone run up the stairs and into my bro's room. He replied, well, can't be him because he's with me. As he said that, the bathroom door slammed shut as if being pushed from the inside where I was. And I was still sat on the loo. And then there were three massive slams on the door as well. I shit a brick. I'm not going to lie. And even my dad heard the slams while I was on the phone. He raced home to find me still sat on the toilet. I was so scared that I didn't even wipe. And to this day, I still think about that.
I thought he was going to say, to this day, I still haven't wiped. too scared. I'm later, too scared to wipe. Three times, three knocks.
Three knocks, three slams. I knew you were going to love that part, Alyssa. I knew it.
What I hate most about these, though, is how vulnerable you are and they are, right? Like, you're like, I can't run away right now.
You're
I'm gonna either
stuck on the toilet. Someone's slamming and banging. Someone's in the bathroom with you. They're slamming the door in there with you. What the hell are you supposed to do? You don't wipe.
I mean, I'd probably wipe. I would try to hurry myself off. Maybe. It depends. If it was like a murderer, okay, I might not. I'd run away. But I wouldn't just stand. I wouldn't be sitting there for 30 minutes later without wiping. I'd probably get on for business. I would totally, if I'm a ghost, I'm going to definitely mess with people while they're on the toilet.
Oh, hell yes. And as we have established on the podcast, water is a good conduit for all spiritual activity.
I thought you were going to tell me more stories about like ghost poops or disappearing poops or poops came out of nowhere. Poops. What else could poops do? Time traveling poops.
Like somebody woke up and next to their pillow was a poop.
I didn't really want to hear that kind. I just didn't know where we were going to go with pooping.
Well,
honestly.
People poop. Toilets.
A ghost poop. A poop that is slightly transparent sitting there that you can't.
Just a floater. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah. Or just like it wakes you up at night and it's just floating there. A ghost, like, ghost poopies.
Or like, you know, people hear strange noises in their house, ghostly noises, and maybe somebody grunting diarrhea poos.
That's
from
the ghost that you have. It's like, there's just a shitting ghost.
I would much rather have that, a shitting ghost, than like floating poop above my head. Yes, that's what I want. Okay, I don't want any of that. Actually, none of it. Cross that off, man in the corner. Don't listen to that, man in the corner.
Oh, yeah, your hat man's going to be shitting in the corner tonight. No. Bring it on, Walt.
Oh my! Next week, I will come with literal ghost poo stories for you. No, just kidding. I'm not. The one and done, but...
two and done.
Two and done. Alyssa, if you know somebody who has a story, you should have them write in an email to us.
Okay, I will. Hey, you can send it to skeletalespodcast@gmail.com, person that I know that has a story for me. Or you could call Brett and leave it on the hotline.
Please leave me a message. It is at 302-689-DEAD.
302-689-3323. We love to hear all of your stories. We love to hear just comments. If you just want to tell us how your day was, where you listened to the podcast, we love hearing from you. We are on all of the socials. Skeletales Podcast.
We also have a merch shop.
Oh, yeah. I got a good luck charm on there this week for you folks.
I like you changing the vibe a little bit.
Yeah.
We're not all doom and gloom. We talk about like shit.
We get some fairies and gnomes and trolls that bring you good luck. Yeah. We didn't tell people where to go. Skeletalespodcast.etsy.com.
Heck yeah.
What else? Share, like, rate, review.
Do all those
things. It totally helps us get on the charts. Was there anything else, Alyssa?
I mean, I just want to say to everyone to have a happy Thanksgiving. Yes, and you, Brick, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Haunt you later.
Haunt y'all later.
Good night.